I was all arrogant this morning until Marion mistook me for Melvin. Talk about humiliating, man. There you are.
For me.
All right, that's enough from the peanut section. Why don't you turn to your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to start reading at verse 18. There's a word in here I want you to pay attention to. It's a special word. It's a Hebrew word, and it has a meaning. The word is Emmanuel. You might have heard it during this time of Christmas celebrations, and you hear it on the radio and all that. It's Emmanuel. And here's what it says about that. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now that's what the scripture says. That's not the only place it talks about the birth of Christ, but this is an important spot, and you don't want to overlook this. This is the big fact. This is a tremendous fact. I'm going to deal with five things. I'll try to keep them in order. That's the way I have to do it. I got to categorize what I'm going to say. Otherwise, I get all mixed up. The first thing I'm going to talk about is the fantasy. There's an awful lot of fantasy going on about this nowadays. Then I want to talk about the history. This is a historical fact. This actually happened. I want to talk about the prophecy, because the prophecy has meaning. It's a tremendous meaning. Then I want to talk about the mystery. This is a mystery. Yeah? God with us. That's a mystery. Then I want to talk about the legacy. And the legacy, if it's true, what does it mean for you? All right, let's talk about this just a moment. I'm sure you've heard that this is the holiday season. This is the Christmas season, and somebody will tell you Merry Christmas, and I'll say, yes, Merry Christmas to you too. I want you to have the best possible Christmas, and I really do. I mean it. I'm not against you. I don't celebrate Christmas myself. I will not observe it. I've heard all kinds of arguments in favor of it. I've actually categorized those arguments, and I have studied them and hoped that they would convince me, and you know, they're pretty convincing. Some of them are very legitimate. I don't criticize anybody here who uses those arguments to justify their own observation of Christmas Day. But I can't do it because it's simply not true. I don't mean to offend you. And I know somebody says, look, if you're going to talk about Christmas, you need to talk about Christian liberty, because Christians have a right to celebrate the day, and everybody who regards the day, they do it to God, and everybody who doesn't regard the day, you know, you can talk about all the arguments you want. I do not believe that Christians have liberty to practice something that they invented out of whole cloth. I don't believe that. And I do not believe that we have the freedom to do everything you want to do. I do believe we are obliged to follow what the Bible says. And I personally have decided that I can't celebrate Christmas, but I'm not going to judge you. you have liberty as far as I'm concerned because I'm a nobody. I have nothing to say about your right or wrong. I have the responsibility to tell you the truth. So if you wanted to keep your children in the dark about Santa Claus, don't bring them to church when I'm preaching. All right. Fantasy. What does this have to do with Santa Claus? What does this have to do with Christmas trees? This is the incarnation. This is one of the greatest things that ever happened, and it has nothing to do, with mistletoe or holly. Has nothing to do with any of that. It's not about giving gifts to each other. I was at, where was that? Some store. I think it was Northern Tool Stores in there. And this guy was saying, yeah, this year I made a list and sent it to all of my friends because they always get me these gifts that are just junk. And I wanted to give them a list of gifts that I could use. Fantasy. Have you ever seen grown men wearing those little Santa Claus hats, those little pajama hats? That's fantasy. Now, I don't know. Maybe you get into that. Maybe that's really, you know, your cup of tea. Even if I was wholeheartedly celebrating Christmas, I wouldn't do that. Listen, if you're going to celebrate Christmas, you ought to do it with your whole heart, but make it about Jesus. Why don't you just make it about Him? What about honestly worshiping God over this? I'm telling you, there's something real here. I'm going to talk to you about the history of it. It's real. It's amazing. It's fantastic. Boy, you shouldn't let that go. You should hang on to it. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, right? Hang on to what's good. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good, the Bible says. But all this nonsense, all this commercialism, you do realize that they're selling you a bill of goods, right? When they tell you in the commercials that this is the season to buy your wife diamonds. Now, look, if you want to buy your wife diamonds, that's fine, but it has nothing to do with Christmas. It has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. It has nothing to do with the incarnation, the greatest fact that ever happened, the greatest event that has ever happened today. Amen. Is that Jesus Christ came. He was manifest in the flesh. Amen. He came to save us from our sins. That's Jesus. Wow, what a wonderful thing. Has nothing to do with Santa Claus. Remember that. Now let me talk to you about the history. Something happened. This is something real. I will warn you, if you get all caught up in the fantasy, you start telling your kids about Santa Claus and the elves and, you know, coming down the chimney and flying all over the world with reindeer and all that stuff. You start talking like that. Someday you're going to be trying to tell your kids about God and they're going to have a problem believing you. Well, I think you ought to keep that stuff completely separate. You see, because God's not a fantasy. God is real. And what happened in Bethlehem, and it wasn't a snowy winter eve. What happened in Bethlehem, and it's not that we don't know when it happened. The Bible gives us abundant clues as to when it happened. And I'm not an expert in calendar, but I believe if someone were an expert in the calendar, they could go back to the lunar calendar of that year, and they could tell you exactly the day in our proleptic Gregorian calendar. They could tell you the exact day that he was born, but it wouldn't matter to anybody. Because they like Christmas too much. You see, the 25th of December is so important. It's very important that it be wintry, that it be snowy, and that it have fir trees there somewhere. But let me tell you something. This really happened. Over there, I believe it was a fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, and there's many reasons to believe that. And I believe we have actual calendar justification for it. And I believe the evidence that we have in here about the course, the priestly courses to know when John the Baptist was conceived and born, that we can narrow it all the way down and we can get it right down to the point. And it seems almost incontrovertible biblically that Jesus Christ was born as a fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. And that happened around the first part of October in every year. So let me point out to you something. All of the old feasts that you find in Exodus, all of the feasts that God instituted in the, when they came out of Egypt and he set up this new order that he called that covenant with Moses, the covenant of the law, the covenant of Sinai, that thing that they did, he set up feasts. God set up feasts three times in the year, and they had double meanings of the feast. You had the Passover and you had the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and you had the first fruits that included the ingathering and the gleanings. And then you had the Feast of Trumpets, and then you had the Day of Atonement. And then you had the Feast of Tabernacles, and every one of those feasts found fulfillment in the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's an important point to be made, and what found fulfillment in the birth of Christ was the Feast of Tabernacles, and that is why they were staying in the stables, because the Feast of Tabernacles, they were commanded to stay in the stables. They were supposed to live in the booths. Or in the tabernacles. That was their... And they had stopped doing it, but God made it happen anyway. It's amazing. It's an actual historical fact. This is what happened. They were going to be taxed. And on the way, she starts having pains. And then they had to stay in a stable there in Bethlehem. They had to stay in a stable because there was no room in the inn. And she gave birth in the booths to fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's why all the nations someday are going to be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. All the nations, it says so in Zechariah, all the nations are going to come every year celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. Why? Because it's important. It actually really happened. Does it matter to the world? Not at all. Santa Claus matters to the world, but not the fact that Jesus Christ was born as a fulfillment of prophecy. As a fulfillment of the feast that God had set up, as a beautifully choreographed story that God makes up to show you exactly what Jesus Christ did for you. And here's the announcement. He says, this is how it happened. It's not a fantasy. It's not a religious story. It's not a legend. It's actual facts that they pulled together with eyewitnesses. And Matthew gathered them all up and wrote it down, said, this is how it happened. Luke wrote it down, said, this is how it happened. It's real. It ought to get a hold of your thoughts. It ought to get a hold of your imagination. Jesus Christ came and he was born of a virgin. You think that's strange? You think that's exotic? Boy, you ain't kidding. That is a strange thing to say. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. Isn't that amazing? Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea to fulfill prophecy. He was born of a virgin to fulfill prophecy. Wow, it's an amazing. There were shepherds out there and they heard the angels shouting and saying, hey, he's born, he's come. Wow, this is reality. Man, I tell you what, let me read you a couple of hymns that you might recognize some of these hymns. Oh come, Emmanuel. And ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. O come, thou Lord of night, thou Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times did give the law in cloud and majesty and awe. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save and give them victory o'er the grave. You hear this on the radio, do you hear it? Do you listen to it? O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. O drive away the shades of night and pierce the clouds and bring us light. O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home where all the saints with thee shall dwell. O come, Emmanuel.
Amen.
Wow. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. Born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Maybe you've heard this one. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light. radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. I skipped away in a manger. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room and heaven and nature sing. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. You've heard these, haven't you? Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song? Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. See him in a manger laid, Jesus Lord of heaven and earth. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid. With us sing our Savior's birth. Yeah? Yeah? Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God, and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Christ by heavens, by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate in us thy love. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians fear, for sinners hear, the silent word is pleading. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh. Come rich and poor to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him Lord, the babe, the Son of God. Amen. You know him. You've heard the story, right? You know all about it. It's real. This is true. This isn't fantasy. This isn't talk about elves. This isn't talk about Christmas trees and decorating your house with lights and giving each other presents and being so commercialized that you can't even remember what it's about. This is Emmanuel, God with us. He came. He was incarnate. Amen. Yeah, he didn't come in the winter solstice. He wasn't born in the middle of winter. That has to do with Saturnalia. You can study it all out. You can learn it all. That had nothing to do at all with Christ's birth. I will tell you, though, absolutely true, that if Jesus was born around the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, he was conceived around this time. So celebrate that. It's the incarnation. It's the time when God became a man. Wow. It's history. It's real. He was born in Bethlehem. The wise men came to see him. It was a little while later, and there weren't just three. And we don't know their names. People are just making stuff up. And they shouldn't be making stuff up. They ought to be paying attention to what's real and what's true, because it's amazing. And you know, the devil will do anything to get you to stop paying attention to what's real and what's true and what's amazing. He'd much rather you be looking at all the little glittery baubles out there. No, but this is real. This is true. Wise men came. There were so many of them, it troubled all of Jerusalem. The whole town was afraid, and the King Herod noticed. They came. Why'd they come? We came to worship the Son of God. We came to worship the King of Israel, that one that's been promised. Oh, yeah, they came to worship him. Herod took note. Herod wanted him dead and tried to kill him, but he couldn't do it. And he had to move to Nazareth to fulfill prophecy. Did you think about all the stuff that actually happened? This is reality. This is something that actually happened. Now, you might have your doubts. You might say, well, I have real doubts about a virgin having a child. Actually, it's really not all that difficult to believe that God can make creation itself, that God can make living things, that God can create DNA and make it perform according to His design. It's an amazing thing. And that God can take and conceive His own flesh son, begotten son in a virgin. Oh yeah, He could do that. And that's what He said He did. It was the angel of the Lord that told Joseph. He said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God said that. That means Jesus is not the archangel Michael. Right. He's not that. No, that's not who He is. He's the begotten Son of God. Amen. Hear that word, begotten. Begotten. His body was divine. Put together by God Himself. Wow. This is an amazing thing, folks. But it didn't just happen in a vacuum. It's not like, you know, somebody sitting there meditating on God and gets a vision and writes down the Quran and says, this is now what we have to believe. That's not what happened. This thing was prophesied thousands of years before and over again reaffirmed and reconfirmed over and over again by one prophet, then by another prophet, then by David, and then by the Psalms, and then by the Proverbs, and even by Jacob, and by all of the prophets. Jeremiah talked about it. Zechariah talked about it. Isaiah talked about it. They all talked about it. Isaiah said, a sign's going to be given you. A virgin shall conceive and bear a child. Yeah, and they're going to put the government on his shoulders. And what the Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Yeah, it's the Son of God. All through the Old Testament, he prophesies he's coming. The Messiah is coming. And then it happens. Amen. You don't have to believe some hallucination from somebody who was sitting on a mountain and got a revelation from an angel. You can just believe all those prophets, one after another, vetted and confirmed over and over again. Just believe what they said. He came to fulfill prophecy. It was a fulfillment of what God had promised. And when He came, He fulfilled it all. He did the whole thing. Are you a Jew and wonder when your Messiah's coming? Too late. He already came. If you'd read your Bible instead of your Talmud, you'd find out He's already been here. He's already come. He's the one who was wounded for our transgressions. You don't know how to interpret that, my friend, my Jewish friend. You don't understand what that means, but that's what it means. It's talking about Jesus. It's talking about that one that was born in Bethlehem because He was prophesied to be born in Bethlehem. Oh yeah, He was born. He was prophesied that He was going to teach us. Moses says He's going to teach you all things. He's going to make it clear. And there was never a teacher like that teacher. You read the Sermon on the Mount. That has transformed the world. It's transformed the world. Yeah, He was a teacher. He was prophesied to do miracles. He was going to be our healer. He was going to cast out the demons, and He did it. Oh, yeah, He did it. He was going to suffer. The Bible says He was going to suffer. A lot of the Jews missed it. They're still missing it to this day. But the Bible prophesies that He was going to suffer. Read Psalm 22. Read Isaiah 53. He is going to suffer. Read Daniel chapter 9, where it says the Messiah is going to be cut off in the midst of the week. Read it. It's all there. Even Jesus had to tell those disciples on the way to Emmaus. Isn't it true? Didn't the Bible tell you that the Christ had to suffer? How could you be so confused? He had to suffer. He was prophesied to suffer. He was prophesied to die. He was prophesied to rise again from the dead. He was prophesied to indwell his own people. To indwell them. He was prophesied to come again. He was prophesied to reign over all the earth. He was prophesied to tabernacle with us. Emmanuel, God with us. It was prophecy. It's also a mystery. What a mystery. You know what it tells us? That our Messiah, our Christ, is God. He's God. In him, Paul says, the apostle Paul says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Paul said to Timothy, he said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. Don't believe your new versions that get rid of that word God. God was manifest in the flesh. It's no mystery at all that somebody else was manifest in the flesh, but what a mystery that God was manifest in the flesh. Oh, I know the Muslims can't take that. They say, how could God ever become flesh? Jews can't take that. How could God ever become flesh? I'm telling you, it's amazing. Jehovah's Witnesses can't believe that. All kinds of people just can't accept it. But that's what the Bible says. Our Messiah is God. He's God in the flesh.
Amen.
I know old Philip says, oh Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. That'll be good. Just show us the Father. And Jesus says, Philip, have I been so long time with you and you have not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. What more do you want? You got Jesus. You don't need anything else. You don't need somebody else. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Just the name of Jesus. It's not the name of Jehovah. It's the name of Jehovah saves. That's what Jesus means. Jehovah saves. Jehovah Savior. That's our God. Jehovah saves. Our Messiah is God. It also means, here it is, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. It means God plans on living with us.
Amen.
What a mystery. No. Not God in heaven or us floating around with wings on clouds with harps. No, that's not what that means. It means that God is going to come and make his tabernacle with us. I don't have a lot of time, but I got about a dozen verses I'd love to read you. Love to read you. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 11. Leviticus 26, sorry, my Bible drill days are long past me. Here it is, 26. I said verse 11, God says, I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Look at Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 6. It says, cry out and shout for the, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee, Ezekiel 37:27. says, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them for evermore. 43. That's Ezekiel 43, verse 7. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. And my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. How many times does he have to prophesy to you and tell you over again? You can read Zechariah 2, verse 10. You can read 2 Corinthians 6, 16. You can read John 1, 14. We quoted it. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He came and He dwelt among us. Our hands have handled Him, John says. Revelation 7:15 says, Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3 says, And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You see, that's a hallelujah statement. It's so much better than the fantasy. Oh, the truth is better than fiction. Yeah. Wow. I'm telling you, it's amazing to me. He's going to dwell among us. Apparently that was His purpose. Apparently that's what He started this whole thing out for. Apparently when He was conceiving in His mind the whole concept of physical laws and quantum mechanics, which we still don't understand, but in order to create something that would produce a world like ours, and then when He was coming up in His mind and conceiving of DNA and all kinds of digital codes that would make our bodies work like they do, tremendous, way smarter than you and me. Oh yeah, He did all of that, and not only that, He decided He'd create the mind, the spirit, independent people who could actually think and have a desire of their own and come to love God with their own heart. What a tremendous invention that God made. And He did it all because He wants to live with us. Amen. He wants to be with us. Isn't that what He said when He went away? He said, I'll come again. Why? Because I want you to be with me where I am. What is this about Him? What kind of a compassionate God do we have? What kind of a tremendous, faithful, ingenious God do we have to say He wants to live with us? Amen. He wants to be with us. And He got all kinds of problems because we're sinners. We're horrible. Have you seen how horrible you are? Yeah. Have you seen how sinful you are? How corrupt you are? Even the good stuff that God gives, we corrupt it and turn it into junk. Yeah. We turn it into junk. God says, I want to live with you. And so you pray to Santa Claus, give me a break. God says, I want to be with you, and I want you to be with me, and I want to heal you of your diseases, and I want to take away all crying and all sorrow and all death. But you deny it. You don't want it. You'd rather a few hours enjoying ecstasy or LSD or alcohol or fornication or pornography. All the junk in our lives, all the anger, all the hatred, all the sickness of mind, all the mental anguish, all the sorrow, all the meanness. It's all through us. It's everywhere. It's contaminated your own soul. And God says, I'm going to fix it. Amen. How am I going to fix it? I'm going to come. Amen. And I'm going to take on the form of a servant. Amen. And I'll humble myself even to the death of the cross. Amen. And I'm going to rise again and defeat it all. And then I'm going to give eternal life to anybody that wants it. Anybody that wants it. Emmanuel. God with us. Emmanuel! Alright, here's the legacy. Here's the legacy. First of all, think about it categorically. Who is like Jesus? Who? Who else is God with us? Not the Virgin Mary, no sir. The whole story wasn't about her. I've preached so many times in the street and I've had good people that come up and say, well, what about the Virgin? I'll tell you, nothing about the Virgin. Who cares? It's not about her. Amen. It's about God with us. Amen. It's about Emmanuel. It's about Jesus. It's about the Son of God, God in the flesh.
Amen.
It's about the King of all the earth.
Amen.
Come and let us adore Him. Don't adore the Virgin. Who cares about Saint Nicholas? Seriously, who cares about him? Old Martin Luther got all bent out of shape because back in the Middle Ages, St. Nicholas was the most important saint. Especially in the Eastern Orthodox Church, he was higher than all the other saints. But even in the north of Israel, even in the north of Europe, in the Western side, the Latin-speaking side, and even in Germany, it was St. Nicholas that was so important. And when he was trying to get people to get rid of all this saint worship and all that, they couldn't let go of St. Nicholas because he was giving gifts to the kids. His day was December the 6th, and he could not get them to, but he says, you know, and bless his heart, I think Martin Luther, I have great respect for Martin Luther, but he didn't know any better. He says, well, instead of the 6th of December, let's make it on Christ's day, which is the 25th of December. And so he invents a Christ, a little Christ child, Chris Kendall. And he'll go around giving gifts. He's a little teenager, Jesus, going around giving gifts. Starts up a whole new tradition. Bless his heart. But why? Because they were so focused on St. Nicholas, he wanted them to focus on Jesus. Well, why don't you just make them focus on the Bible? They'll get focused on Jesus. It's the Bible that tells you. It's not about St. Nicholas. And if you're teaching your kids to pray to Santa Claus, bless your heart, you're messing them up. Do not pray to Santa Claus. Do not ask him for anything and do not thank him for anything. I'm sorry if you came here expecting me to say a nice Christmas message, but that's just not true. Don't believe it. Don't follow it. Don't even ignore it. Point it out. It's not true. Anybody who takes the glory away from God is not a friend of God.
Amen.
And he's not a friend of truth either. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about Christmas trees. It's not about the 25th of December. It's about Jesus.
Amen.
Categorically, there's nobody that can compare to Jesus. He's the only one. He's the only one that can forgive your sins. He's the only one that can intercede for you before God in heaven. He's the only one that rose again from the dead and can lift you right out of the grave himself. He's the only one that can stand up in the judgment and say, "This one's mine. Bring him on in. He's mine. I don't care what he did. He's mine." He's the only one who can do that. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's just that name of Jesus. Categorically, think about it. That's our legacy. That's what Christianity is all about. It's about Jesus and only Jesus. What about theologically? Think about it theologically. What does this mean? That God had it planned all along? He's going to spend his life with you. Besides, what is your life anyway? What is your life without God? What a waste of a life. Can you imagine having eternal life and yet you're still living in your own misery? What a miserable existence it would be to live forever in your own sin. That's what hell's about. You get to live forever in your own sin. The anguish of your sin persecuting you forever, that's hell. You don't want that. You got to surrender. You got to quit. You got to turn around and say, "God, I want to live with you. I want to be part of you. I want to be yours. Your purpose is important. Your will is important." Imagine that. A place where your will doesn't matter.
Amen.
Only God's will matters.
Amen.
That's amazing. What about morally? Think about it morally. What is this legacy to us telling us? How do we live? How do we do? How do we function every day? Think about it from the moral standpoint. What do you owe God? Everything. The breath you breathe, the food you eat, the beating of your heart, the oxygen that goes from your heart to your brain so that you can think. You owe him everything. And what would your life be without him? Nothing. Your life is nothing without him. Absolutely nothing. So what do you owe him? How did the psalmist put it? What shall I render to God for the benefits that he's given me?
Amen.
Did you think about that you ought to render something back to God and yet you render him nothing? You don't even praise him or thank him.
Amen.
You put your stocking up on the chimney. That's what you want. Foolish, foolish, foolish. You need to render something to God. Turn around and go to God. Say, help me, God.
Amen.
How about logically? You have a reasonable bone in your body. Can you add two and two? Can you connect the dots? If God did this to live with you, why aren't you seeking Him?
Amen.
Why aren't you thirsting after Him more than your food that you have? Why isn't it all the zeal of your whole life to find God and to know Him and to be close to Him and to be ready for Him when He comes to live with us? Why isn't that your whole focus in life? Do you understand what this means? God with us, Emmanuel, He came, He did it, He's going to come again. He's prepared you, He's done it all correctly. And He says, if you want it, you can have it. Then what would your answer be? I mean, if somebody came and said, I've got a winning lottery ticket, who wants it? Good for you. None of you want it. But this is better than any lottery ticket. This is God Himself saying, I want to be with you.
Amen.
Logically, you ought to be saying, okay, I'll take it. I'll take it. I want to be with you. I mean, if a guy comes and defeats the person that's oppressing you and says, if you want freedom, just follow me. What idiot would stay there where he is? No, get up and follow him. Go after him. And go after him with all your heart.
Amen.
Emmanuel is God with us.
Amen.
There ain't no better thing to proclaim than Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
Nobody compares, nothing else compares. The logical response, the logical reaction is, I give him all my heart. Every last bit of myself, my being, every bit of my future, every bit of my past, I give it all to God in just the hope that He might find some pleasure therein. He could find some use for me in history, in life, in the eternal future, that God would make use of me and be with me and that I could live with Him and that I'd have eternal usefulness. Yes. Yes, I want that. Do you want it? Because if you don't have it, you can have it. All you've got to do is talk to Him.
Yes.
Just like the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross had nothing to offer.
Amen.
Hands nailed to a cross. Nothing to offer. But he said, Lord, remember me.
Amen.
And Jesus said, verily, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Amen.
If you want it, you can have it.
Amen.
It's yours. Do you want it? Go for it with all your heart. Talk to Him today. Don't put it off. Not another hour. If you want to know more about this, you want to hear about, read in the Bible, I would be glad to read in the Bible right now after this meeting is over. I'll read in the Bible all the promises that He makes to you about giving you eternal life just for believing in Him. I can show you what the Bible says about it. And if I'm busy, because there's so many that want that, well, we got some other people here that can show it to you too. We're not too busy for you. We've got time and room for you. You want to know about salvation? You come. When this meeting's over, you single us out, talk to us. We aren't too busy for you. It's all about your salvation. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. You need that more than you need the food you eat. Lord, I ask you to touch this congregation here because we love you and we want to serve you. Forgive us where we do you wrong. We haven't been right, Lord, and we're nobody to judge anybody else. And Lord, we want you to bless every single person out there that remembers your birth during this time of the year. But at the same time, God, we want to lift up your word and lift up your promises and believe in the reality of it. God, you came to be with us. Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as your savior, as their savior, God, I ask you to deal with their hearts and make them hunger after you. Only you can do that. I know that by experience and by the word of God, I know only you can touch their heart. And I ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we have Lord's Supper at 7 o'clock.